More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
Are you surprised about Kurt Angle getting in this soon? Is that too soon?
With what he did in the ring, from amateur to WWE to his days in TNA, he well deserves it. I remember when he came in to the WWE, he was the Olympic hero. Remember, he wrestled in the Atlanta Olympics with a broken frickin' neck.
Yeah.
They did some comedy work with him, of course, with Steve Austin. That was just
incredible.
Hilarious.
Incredible.
I remember Steve putting that little cowboy hat on Kurt Angle. Oh, man, that was hilarious.
I remember his match with Shane McMahon. No holds bar, anything going on. It was a street fight. Kurt was willing to do whatever he was asked to do. And now you talk about him being face. When they threw him to be heel, Kurt ate it up.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, his theme song, his walk-in song, and the crowd would chant, you know, you suck or whatever, at the beats. And Kurt ate it up. Kurt was so professional about it, to be quite honest with you.
You know, he wasn't a professional wrestling fan.
No.
And that, I think what you said about him, he was willing to do whatever. But who would have thought this guy, who was so intense in the amateur wrestling world and so good, could come into the, quote, sports entertainment? He's had some difficulties over the years with his injuries and drug abuse and with the other guys.
Kurt Angle's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, it is true. Teddy Long is also, as of this recording... Teddy Long is also in the Hall of Fame.
Deserves it.
Absolutely.
I'm
not going to lie to you. I really know him just from the part of him being at SmackDown.
As the general manager.
As general manager. When SmackDown honestly was really struggling at one point.
But Teddy Long started as, he was in the ring as a referee. Then he became a manager. And then he became the general manager of SmackDown. His little swagger when he'd walk out as the general manager and having those great-looking suits he wore, and his mic skills, wow. Just
incredible.
Just holla if you hear me. You know, but he looks so much like Gary Coleman, the actor.
Don't
you know,
do that.
He looks so much...
Why do you do that? You have to be that guy, don't you, Dave?
I am that guy.
You... Oh, you know, Teddy Long, if you're listening to this, I just want to apologize on behalf of my partner here, Dave Denton, for calling you, or at least liking you, to Gary
Coleman.
What you talking about, Willis? Coleman.
No, I love Gary Coleman.
Don't. No, you don't.
I do.
No, so. That's because you think I'm Gary Coleman. That's why you say that.
But anyway, Teddy Long. That's neither. But let's talk. Get back to Teddy. He brought a swagger to SmackDown when they just desperately needed it.
Her former boyfriend, Brad Maddox, videotaping Paige and Xavier Woods. How do I say this? We need to, you know, kind of say this is not necessarily going to be for young ears, because they were doing the deed. Okay, let's just go ahead and say they were having sex.
I guess,
on this videotape.
I guess that brings a new meaning to triple threat match, huh?
Oh, yeah. When you're talking about Xavier Woods, it might bring a new meaning to the word booyah.
Yeah.
I was surprised when the story broke at the backlash against Paige.
Now, they'll pin it all on her.
You hate to say it. You know, you talk about privacy and stuff, and there was scandals a couple years ago about private videotapes and stuff that somebody got fired for that, too. The privacy is something of the past. I mean, somebody is always watching.
You know, to me... The ones that moved to Raw that I think are the biggest accusations for Raw, The Miz and Maurice, Bray Wyatt coming over
big.
To Raw. I don't know what they have planned for him as of yet. And then when you look at on the lady side, Alexa Bliss, she works the microphone. She's a great worker in the ring. I think that's
I think it's great. I think that's probably the biggest moves as far as major talent.
Time in his career, at least for Sin Cara, he's moving brands. Tell me about your thoughts on him moving from SmackDown, or excuse me, moving to SmackDown from Raw. Really? You used to be a big fan of Sin Cara, if I remember right.
I have a Sin Cara mask.
Yeah, then you're a huge fan. So what? No surprise. No,
he hasn't done anything since the loot. You know, when he was with Kalisto. I don't see him making much of an impact on SmackDown. I don't.
Two more people I want to ask you about. Charlotte Flair. She also moves to SmackDown. What does that do for the Divas?
They're gonna immediately, and they've already started a feud with Charlotte and Naomi. Feel the glow, baby. I love Feel the glow.
We'll talk about that.
I love Feel the glow.
What about Kevin Owens?
KO, wherever he goes.
Can he still make the impact he did on Raw?
As the face of the United States Championship from Canada, yeah, KO. I've just been a big fan of his work for a long, long time. And he just works the microphone. And even when he is in the ring, he's always got that running commentary going.
That's why I like the draft. You remember one draft that sticks out in my mind was when John Cena got drafted to SmackDown. Then at the end of the night, he got drafted back to Raw. kind of silly. But the draft I always liked because, I mean, even though it's phony as all get out, it was still fun. Rumor mill is that they moved Bray Wyatt over by himself so that he can... And they're going to separate Matt and Jeff, and he's going to feud with Broken Matt. And did you notice another thing? Here we have a pay-per-view, and guess what? Our Universal Champion isn't going to be there because he's a part-timer. You know, I am not a big Lesnar fan, and I'm not a big part-timer fan. When you got guys like AJ Styles out there, busting his friggin' butt, and these guys at the house shows, you know, those are the guys that need, you know, can I go on a rant here? Are you okay with that?
Go on a rant.
Okay. I saw a thing the other day that talked about, I can't remember who posted it. It talked about it was like 20 tops WWE superstars and their salaries. John Cena was way up at the top. I think he gets like $10 million a year, and he gets to use Vince McMahon's private jet and so on and so forth. And Brock Lesnar was way up there too. AJ Styles, I think he was at like 800,000. You know, to you and me, that's a heck of a lot of money. So you got a family man out there on the road 300 nights a year away from his family competing. Then you have Brock Lesnar, who shows up 3 pay-per-views a year and makes more money than him and doesn't have to show up at all. That's what frustrates me. And that was what got like Ryback and some of those guys. That's what pissed them off is they didn't feel like that they were getting compensated enough for when these part-timers show up and get paid a lot more money than them. But I guess in the end, it's all about selling tickets, right?
I was watching Raw and I saw the Strowman flipping over the ambulance. And I'm just saying, oh, that was a nice spot. And maybe because I'm realistic.
Would you really need to stop as we talk about this? God.
I was going, oh, I bet there's some people out there think that it really did it. And there was actually an online petition trying to get him, have charges pressed against him for doing that. And, you know, there are still marks in this world that think everything is real. But still, you know, it was an impressive little stunt that they do live. Yeah. It was cool.
Big Show decides to climb to the top of the rope, and you know where that's going to go. Braun Strowman decides to join him at the top of the rope, and now you know where it's really going to go.
Uh-huh.
A suplex off the top of the rope destroys the ring. And if you haven't seen it, you can log on to the following: CNN, YouTube, ESPN, Fox News. Keep going.
Go ahead. I mean, it was impressive.
Entertainment E! Channel uh-huh. had it as well. Total Divas played it all over the place a couple times. It was everywhere. By the way, what's the combined weight of those two? Do you know?
It would be probably around 800 pounds. 800? Yeah.
But the best part of it, the ref standing at the left side of the ropes, and he's just waiting for them to land. That's all. I mean,
all
and then all of a sudden, you see the ring collapse, the ropes collapse, and he has nothing to fall back on, and he just falls right off. He plays it so well because he plays it out and just lays there. Doesn't move.
Right.
But
he hit pretty hard.
You see where Big Show, as he lands and he sees a ring fall apart, he looks over the ref and he sees him fall off. And he's like, oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
The crowd just went ballistic.
Yeah. And that's
so
not
good.
The first time that they've done this.
No,
Mark
not
Henry
at all.
In the Big Show, Brock Lesnar in the Big Show.
Okay, so when this ring falls apart, staged or real? Because that's 800 pounds, by the way, that landed on that mat. There's no way.
Staged.
It was really well staged. Can
it
I just
was.
Say that?
I
the reaction from the
I
referee,
agree.
The two wrestlers, and even the cameraman. If you see that, there's so many angles of it, you get to see the cameraman. One of them kind of just jumps back, almost as like startled by it. Michael Cole's reaction was phenomenal.
You know, they might not have told the camera guys. They might not have told Michael Cole.
I don't think Michael Cole knows. Remember, Michael Cole does not like to know the results to matches because he likes to.
I would say it was staged just because it's happened before. And I'm telling you, the match itself, two huge men.
Oh, God.
Now, you've stood next to the Big Show.
Oh, you have to remind me of
this. And he's twice of you,
I
right?
I appreciate you reminding me.
Yeah,
of this.
I mean, but how big was his hand?
Oh, my gosh. He put his hand on my shoulder, and it gulped my whole entire shoulder. His thumb went down to the backbone of my shoulder. I mean, I was like, sir, please take your hand off of me before you, like, crush my shoulder.
As far as a huge man match, I loved every minute of it. I'm sitting there saying, why wasn't this on the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
It should have been a... And now, you know, they're trying to set up with Roman Reigns.
Renee Young.
Dean Ambrose.
How does a guy that ugly... And he's not cute. And don't even try. That ugly. Get a sweetheart like Renee Young.
Well, look at your own wife.
Well,
answer the question.
I know. She's not cute at all, and I'm
your
amazing.
Wife's darling.
Okay, and I'm amazing, and she's not. I know.
Yeah.
I don't know how she did
he
it.
He married up.
Albert,
you know, once again, I'm going to go back to another episode.
Please.
I can't remember if it was Total Divas or Total Bellas, or there was an episode where they were with Renee's parents in Canada, and or maybe they flew out to L.A. or something. Anyway, they were at an outdoor restaurant, and some drunk reached over and grabbed Renee's hat. And then Dean Ambrose freaked out and went after the guy. Renee was just, you know, she was livid that he would do that because she didn't know if he had a gun or anything. But he got her hat back. I thought it was very macho of him.
Alberto and Paige.
Alberto, El Patron, and Paige. Man, what a soap opera.
The fetch.
When remember when they did the draft last year? They had been dating a little bit before that, and Paige was having some issues, as we all know. And when the draft happened, Alberto went to Raw, Paige stayed on SmackDown, and actually Alberto said, "We got to break up because we won't ever see each other." And she's devastated. She is just totally devastated. Then everything else that has happened over the year with Alberto El Patron or Del Rio, whichever way you want to call him, leaving the company again, not under the best of terms. Paige has been suspended more than once for the health and wellness policy. I guess they have gotten it all together and they decided to get married. Even after the video came out with that.
Yeah. And did you hear about Xbox Shane Waltman? The 1-2-3 kid, he got busted at LAX. A drug-sniffing dog found an item in Waltman's backpack. When the police opened it up, they found 38 meth capsules, 56 THC tablets, 2 liquid THC cigarettes, 3 marijuana chocolate bars. Waldman told TMZ that drugs were being used to fight a yeast infection. That's the biggest kind of yeast I've ever seen. So he was using all these illegal drugs to fight a yeast infection. I'm sorry. That makes me laugh.
There goes his Legends contract.
Now, on our last podcast, we talked about Sean Waldman, X-Pac, the 123 kid, whatever you want to call him, him being busted at the L.A. airport and accused of drugs. I mean, there was meth and all kinds of stuff involved. However, Sean Waldman, X-Pac, has passed a polygraph test that he took on his own podcast, X-Pac 12360, showed that he had not been trying to smuggle drugs into London, where he was caught in the L.A. airport. X-Pac spoke about the situation with the police, and they thought he had meth, but according to Sean, in reality, it was a bottle of yeast infection pills. Now, you remember he said it was medication to be treated for a yeast infection, and I kind of made fun of it at that point, thinking that it was meth. Evidently, he's telling the truth because all charges have been dropped. Good for him. I mean, good for his career, and also good for, you know, he might have been facing some serious jail time if that would have been something that they were going to pursue. But evidently, he was telling the truth. I will take my hat off to him, and I apologize if I besmirched your character by any means. Didn't mean to. I just thought that one line about yeast infection pills just didn't sound right to me, but you were right. I was wrong.
Okay, so Dave.
Yes, sir.
Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. First of its kind.
First of its kind. Very physical. I enjoyed it till the twist at the end.
You know, I text you, uh-huh, and I said, I feel robbed, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't feel robbed because of the end. I didn't mind the end. Okay.
You didn't mind the twist of Ellsworth climbing the ladder?
No, not at all. You know, if Carmella's going to be put over as a heel, she needs to just, you know, be a real heel.
Yeah, she needs some heat, real. Yeah.
And this will give her a lot of heat, so uh-huh, it should help prop her up, because I like her. I think she's pretty good.
Oh, I do too.
I thought it was a little short, to be honest with you. They need to make up their mind. You know, they keep talking about, you know, what was it, 2 years ago we had the big women's thing, uh-huh, and... But here we are, first of its kind, Money in the Bank ladder match. And what was it? Probably 10, 12, yeah, maybe 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, I was just starting to get into it, and then all of a sudden it ended. I just jumped onto Bleacher Report, and this was their analysis for the women's ladder match. It says, and this is exactly what we were talking about. It says, what a missed opportunity. This wrapped up far too early and before things could get truly wild.
Well, yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. I didn't necessarily think it was too short with the finish they had with Ellsworth getting involved. But I didn't think there were enough high spots for all the competitors, which usually – In a match like that, when you get 5 or 6 people, they always let them have their own high spot. So I didn't see that. I can understand that they all didn't get their high spots. Tamina got the high spot at the beginning, Natalie for just a little bit. Becky Lynch and Charlotte got very, very little as far as the high spots go. I agree with the Bleacher Report that it was a missed opportunity to really make the women really stand out. On SmackDown Live this week, Daniel Bryan got on, and he took the Money in the Bank briefcase from Carmella and said they're going to revisit the Money in the Bank on this coming Tuesday night. So they're basically going to have another.
I was honestly and truly surprised at how entertaining the match was and how it was a good match. That's probably the New Day's best match, because most of their matches kind of suck, let's be uh-huh honest.
But what did you think of the finish with them with the Usos just walking away?
I thought it was great. Man, what I'm so glad to start seeing some of this stuff come back. I mean, this is the type of stuff that slimy heels do. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give the titles up, so they just leave, you know, because they know they're getting beat. And I thought it was great. I thought it was well played out. It seems to be, as of late, we get some outside interference or something, but I was glad to see just a good old-fashioned, screw you, we're leaving. I'm taking my ball and going home.
Well, I think JBL really sells it well when he talks about the championship advantage, the champion's advantage, you know. I think that was pretty cool. But can I tell you my tale of woe with that match?
Tell me.
It's Dave's tale of woe. I'm watching it live on the network. And I'm really enjoying the match, and I know it's getting ready for the end, and I lost my feed.
Oh.
I was so angry, dun, dun, dun. And then I couldn't get back on until the women's match was almost over, women's title match was almost over. So I had to go back on the network later and watch it, which is fine, but boy, that aggravates the out of me. So,
next up, we have Jinder Mahal versus the Viper.
Randy Orton. But didn't you like when they showed the St. Louis Legends, given those the old-time performers a little bit? Yeah, good. But Greg Gagne? I mean, he was AWA, and I don't know. I didn't live in the St. Louis area when the AWA was really popular. So I don't know if the AWA went into St. Louis, and you know, but Baron Von Raschke, I loved the Baron Von Raschke. He got such a big pop from the crowd, and then when they did Cowboy Bob Orton, that was the biggest pop, and Ric Flair too. Yeah. So, but overall, I liked the match. I liked the finish with the Singh brothers attacking Cowboy Bob and Randy just losing it. And on SmackDown, he comes back out. Man, he put a beating on the Singh brothers and Mahal on SmackDown Live this week, too. So
I wonder why we haven't, why they haven't allowed somebody like Jinder in the past to show his true work. I mean, dude, you know, somebody that can run with the likes of Randy Orton, you know, has got to be a good performer. But this is literally, think back over the last 5 years, we'll just say. Mm-hmm. When was the last memorable Jinder Mahal moment you had?
You didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't. Here's a theory of mine. Okay, about the time Jinder Mahal got his big push was about the same time that Impact Wrestling was talking about broadcasting their product from India, which they have done the last two shows. Have been broadcast, not live, but were recorded in the country of India itself. So I don't know if this is, you know, Titan Sports and Vince McMahon saying, well, we're just going to take some of your thunder and put the belt on somebody who is of Indian descent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what it is, but that's a theory of mine.
From what I've heard, read recently online, there was a lot of people who were upset that Jinder Mahal won the title.
Yeah. I like it. I like the...
You know, saying that he was no name and no talent and this and that. It's like, well, he's never been given the chance. How can you knock the guy if he's never been given a decent opponent?
Mm-hmm. Or a decent storyline.
But he's been jobbing for... Yeah, he's been jobbing for the last 10 years.
And...
So, moving on. Okay. Breezango versus the Ascension. Is it even worth discussing? Come on. Like, I don't even want to talk about the match. I just want to talk about Breezango.
Okay. Talk about Breezango.
Fandango in the ring, when he's given the chance, dude, he is good. Have you seen some of his moves?
I have. He's really good.
Dude, there is no reason why Fandango shouldn't be repackaged and be competing with Dolph Ziggler and some guys like that. And Tyler Breeze isn't a slouch himself. You know, he's young, and he's damn good. And he's entertaining.
Right.
And the Ascension just... I don't know what the bleepity bleep, 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 bleep is going bleep. On with them.
They came in with such hype, and then they've just been jobbers ever since. They've got a great look, dude, but man, they just that. Well, yeah.
Down in NXT, they were brutes. Uh-huh. Man, the match itself. Let's just be honest with you. It kind of sucked.
I would call it a butt fumble. It was awful. Yeah. Don't say it just sucked. It was awful.
Yeah, there's no use in spending any more time on that, huh? Okay, men's Money in the Bank ladder match. That was an awesome match.
It was, wasn't it?
For once in my life, like I was like, I don't care who wins the match.
At the very first, I was just like, oh no, here's Baron Corbin, and he's attacking Nakamura. And I'm going, Nakamura's going to come back. You know, he'll really
wait,
good.
Don't give up the ending
yet.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
I was really, really glad to see Sami Zayn get some high spots in that match. I was like, it's finally going to happen. Sami Zayn's going to get a title shot. Like, this is incredible. Right. And then I got to tell you, when he did that powerbomb off the ladder on Dolph Ziggler, unreal. How did Dolph not break his fetching neck?
I do not know. And then when he power bombed Kevin Owens through the ladder, when he threw him through the ladder, and that ladder just bent. I'm going, both of them, they should have just, I mean, they could have killed each other, but it was really good.
That when he suplexed Kevin Owens on the ring apron, oh my gosh.
Oh.
Dolph Ziggler did that zigzag off the ladder. AJ Styles hanging from the chain.
Yeah.
Here's what I have written down. Nakamura, WTF. I don't
get it either.
I don't get it, dude. I don't get the crowd. I don't get the pop. Do we need to like go back and watch some New Japan stuff or something? Because all it seems to me like he does is kick and punch.
I got to say this. When Nakamura came back into the ring and he was in there and he faced off with AJ Styles, and, of course, they had faced each other in New Japan several times, and they were holding on to that ladder looking at each other. Then when they pushed it to the side and started going at it, I liked that a lot. And then when they both climbed the ladder, you know, can we talk about the ending yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the ending with Baron Corbin coming in, pushing over the ladder, both AJ and Nakamura hitting the ropes, and Baron grabbing that ladder, climbing to the top, getting that Money in the Bank briefcase. I know you haven't been a big Baron Corbin fan, but I loved it. I loved
you
it.
Did?
Yes.
Dude, I just don't think Baron Corbin's ready though. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite now, because didn't I just say that they need to give lower guys a push? Uh-huh. I don't know, Dave.
I like it.
I guess you can please all, what is it? You can please some of the people some of the time, the other people, other part of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. And you know what the WWE says? They say, ha-ha,
yeah.
We flip you the finger. Yeah. We just made a ton of money.
Yeah, we got your $9.95.
You watched it anyways.
Uh-huh. I liked it, though. I like Baron Corbin as a heel. The Miz is now the IC champion again. And this past Monday night,
The Miz.
You know what he's done now? He's gotten himself an entourage.
What?
Yeah, he has an entourage, and you'll probably like this because it'll give him a little bit more credit and maybe, you know, open up possible things in the future. Curtis Axel and none other than Bo Dallas.
Oh?
So they are now, they did
kind of form a little faction,
A little faction. Miz was backstage talking to them after Bo had lost a match, and you know, he's saying, oh, man, you know, you got to, you know, get together. Why don't you become my entourage? And then they did a bit in the ring where The Miz was apologizing to Maurice for breaking the grandfather clock a couple of weeks ago when The Miz was celebrating his IC championship and, you know, Dean Ambrose was there. But this time they have Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel dressed up like big bears, which – well, if you hadn't seen it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wasn't that the Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, when he was dressed like a bear a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were dressed in the same type of outfits, and they attacked when Ambrose came out, and they are now the entourage for The Miz, because The Miz, of course, is
Awesome.
Take it. We got your money.
You heard about the situation with Alberto and Paige, didn't you?
Well, other than what tell me, I guess.
A few weeks ago at the Orlando, Florida airport, something happened, and I don't, because since I wasn't there, I don't want to speculate, but the police were involved, and there was allegations of domestic violence.
Oh, jeez.
Paige, for her part, said that she was the aggressor. But Global Force, because of these allegations and everything, they had to basically suspend Alberto El Patron for a short time. But he was their champion. But recently, I think sometime last week, the police department said no charges would be filed. However, Paige, who is still under contract with the WWE, could be facing some charges. But the really strange story is about Shane McMahon. You started talking about that one. So Shane McMahon was involved in a very serious, or it could have been more serious than it was, real-life incident that involved a helicopter crash. And there was a lot of footage that I actually put onto our Facebook page of the rescue helicopters coming to the rescue of Shane McMahon and the pilot of this particular helicopter who took it down. And I also have some audio of the press conference that was taking place. Now, the first cut I'm going to play is the helicopter pilot. The first cut is going to actually be the helicopter pilot himself talking about what happens. His name is Mario Redigan, I think is how he pronounced his name. This was at a press conference shortly after the helicopter went down in the waters of the Atlantic Ocean.
So I picked him up at the New York City Westside Heliport, and we flew along the South Shore over the ocean. And south of Republic Airport.
Just come a little closer to the mic.
Yeah, we heard some noise. And it became very clear to me that I could no longer continue flying the helicopter, so I decided to do an auto-rotational landing on the water.
Okay.
Boy, that's scary stuff, man.
That is scary stuff, real-life stuff. And Shane also talked about his perspective of what happened in the crash.
Well, it's very unsettling, you know, when all of a sudden you have, you know, something happen, you hear a bang, and then you start saying we're going to do an emergency landing in the water. So, yes, it was very unnerving. But again, Mario was super calm, which made me super calm, and we landed perfectly.
Wow.
Now, Zane, there was a real funny incident that occurred. At least it made me laugh because there was a reporter for the ABC affiliate in New York City that obviously didn't know anything about wrestling. And if you listen real closely, you'll see why I say that.
Are you Vince McMahon's son?
I am.
Oh, okay. They just asked me to ask that.
She didn't know who Shane McMahon was. Are you Vince McMahon's son? Yes, I am.
We're just coming in for an emergency landing, and I was like, okay. And he says, here in the water. I said, all right. He deployed the pontoons, and everything happened so quickly. You don't have much time to react, but the pilot was, Mario was fantastic. I mean, when he landed, it was like landing on the ground. He did an amazing job.
Because they were doing the deed. Okay.
I guess that brings a new meaning to a triple threat match, huh?
Oh, yeah. When you're talking about Xavier Woods, it might bring a new meaning to the word boudio.
Yeah.
I was surprised when the story broke at the backlash against Paige.
Now, they'll pin it all on her.
You hate to say it. You know, you talk about privacy and stuff, and there was scandals a couple years ago about private videotapes and stuff that somebody got fired for that, too.
I don't tweet.
The most retweeted tweet in history of our wonderful leader pummeling Vince McMahon with a CNN logo plastered over his face. It reached a milestone.
It did. Mm-hmm. Boy, and CNN and some of the news media are going ballistic over this, saying it promotes violence. Give me a break. You know, sometimes you just, and you're more of a Trump supporter than I am, okay? And we realize that. I did vote for the man, but some of the things he does, I still kind of go, and I just, you know, I don't want to get too much into politics, but anyway, the way that the liberal press is reacting to this just absolutely floors me, because you look at the way even comedians like the people from Saturday Night Live had treated conservative presidents for years. I mean, they made Ronald Reagan look like he was a fool, and also Gerald Ford. And I know they were doing it for comedy, but President Trump probably thought it was kind of clever and funny, so that's why he tweeted it out. So I get a life, lighten up.
Great,
yeah, it was funny,
dude. I shared that same video.
Uh-huh.
I shared that on, but without the CNN, you know, I shared that on my Facebook page a long time ago and said, this is exactly why I'll vote for him.
Very disheartening news about the nature boy, Ric Flair. Over the weekend, Ric was hospitalized. He was actually put into a medically induced coma. At first, the reports were that Ric was having heart problems, but it has come out since that the surgery was more for a blockage in his colon. A very, very serious situation. So Nature Boy, who is on everybody's Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
WWE had announced a report that he had went through an undisclosed surgical procedure. There was rumors that it was his colon, and then Wendy Barlow, his fiance, came out and said, no, it's not. It's not his colon. It's worse than that. It's multiple organ. And
his relationship with Nikki, it became part of the competition when they were asking questions about what John had talked about the night before. I don't know if you caught that, but the guy who got the question right, and I'll ask you if you remember, where did John and Nikki share their first kiss?
I don't know.
It was in a restaurant. So the guy, one of the competitors, got it right. Everybody else got it wrong. And so in an off-camera segment, in a different little segment, they come back to him, and he's sitting there talking about winning that particular question. And he made this quote that was so bad. He says, if I win with love, then love wins.
Oh, my good gosh. Get him off the air.
If I win with love, love wins. Guess what? He lost.
I hope so. Anyone who's stupid enough to say that deserves to lose.
It was so
tough. That is... Okay, first of all, stop, okay?
I'm stopping my...
No, God, stop. Jeremiah. Stop. Stop crying. Stop crying.
Okay.
Oh, my good. Yeah. So Cena is staying big. We're just going to move on, Dave. I don't even know where to end with that. I don't even... Again, once again, I have to clean up your mess. Cena remains really busy, by the way. I don't know if you've heard, but he has been... doing some filming, or at least his part in filming in regards to the Bumblebee, which I'm not excited to see. I'm excited to take you out to a movie and go watch Bumblebee.
In the Transformer franchise, Bumblebee, at SummerSlam. Well, he really puts Nakamura over in the match, and then also puts over Baron Corbin on the microphone at the same time. It was masterful work on the microphone by John Cena, and my respect for him grew at that time, because there's been a lot of people say Cena won't put other wrestlers over. I disagree, because he did it with Rusev, he's done it with Corbin now, he's done it with Sensei Nakamura, and just a lot of respect for Mr. John Cena. Ryback making some news. Evidently, he has been doing some wrestling in Australia. Actually beat a guy named Swagzilla, Sean Cumpston, to win the Rock
Wait,
and
what
Roll.
Was his name?
Swagzilla. Isn't that a great name?
I hope he beats Swag. Someone who has the name of Swagzilla should not win a match.
Yeah. Cena says
He's not a part-timer. He's an all-timer.
Whatever.
That was clever.
He's going part-time.
Yeah, he's going. His film career is taking off. Screen Rant reports he's going to be part of a new Knight Rider movie, taking over David Hasselhoff's role in Knight Rider.
Well, you know, dude, when he did 12 Rounds...
he was good.
That was actually a pretty good movie, and he did a pretty good job.
I thought so, too. I liked that movie a lot, so...
I thought that he kind of made himself look stupid in Trainwreck, because that movie was a train wreck.
That's what I heard. I had no desire to see that movie. As much as... I've grown to respect John so much over the last 6 months to a year. Did you see the video footage of his fans talking about how John Cena's never give up mantra has affected them in their lives?
Oh, cool.
There's a video, we put it on our Facebook page, where they set it up where John's sitting there and he's reading letters from these fans, you know, saying they've had tragedies in their lives, sickness in their lives, and how seeing him and always, you know, when he was doing the stuff for the kids and stuff, saying never give up, you know, just keep doing your best and trying. And these people took that to heart and have changed their lives a little bit. And you know, and then at the end of the video, all these people come out that had written these letters. John had no idea what was going on. And, man, he was just you could see he was emotionally touched by it. So my respect for John has grown over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, dude, there's no doubt about it. He is the all-time Make-A-Wish giver from the Make-A-Wish family.
Unreal. And he doesn't want publicity for it.
Yeah.
They say that probably less than one-tenth of all the Make-The-Wishes he does ever gets any kind of publicity. Wow. So way to go, John. Thank you very much for what you're doing. We do have some sad news to report for the lady wrestler Dana Brooke. Her boyfriend, a bodybuilder named Dallas McCarver, died. She said he was the best individual she had ever met. So Dana, who is kind of that midline star right now in the women's division, she's got to be just tore up over this. So,
that's sad.
Yeah. Do you ever watch American Ninja Warrior?
I love that show.
I love that show. You know who Casey Catanzaro is?
No, but I think you posted about her on your Facebook page, didn't you?
Yeah. Casey has announced she's going to retire from Ninja Warrior competition. Now, she was the first woman to climb that 14-foot warped wall that they do. She was the very first one to ever do it. She's only like 5 foot tall. Very tiny young lady. But she is retiring to move to Orlando, Florida.
Oh, geez. She's going to NXT.
She's going to train at Full Sail University. And Triple H was quoted as saying when they were giving her the tryouts, trying to see if she was athletic enough and whether she could take bumps, she did some bumps better than people that had been there for 6 to 8 months.
Wow,
so,
good.
She's very athletic. She's, she's adorable. She's just cute as a bug. She says she will never become a heel, but Triple H says, yeah, she might become a heel. So that would be kind of good. So be expecting her possibly in a year or so on NXT because these guys have got to train for a while before they get onto TV. They got to know what they're doing. So. Bradshaw Lakefield, JBL, he's leaving SmackDown.
You know, why didn't you just come right out and say that the WWE is pissed at him for bullying Mauro Ranallo, and so he's going to take a break for a while?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, just be straight up. Come on.
You know what? When I read that he was leaving and he was going to be concentrating on his charity work more, I kept on saying, I wonder how much pressure he got because of the Mario thing and then all the other stuff that's come out in the past about him being a little bit of a bully.
Is Mauro Ranallo back, though? I heard he's back on NXT.
He's doing NXT.
That's a good reason to watch NXT right there.
He's awesome.
He's so good.
So, JBL is going to be taking leave from his SmackDown duties. He'll still say he'll do certain events. He'll still come back for that. It's not that he's leaving WWE altogether, which most of the competitors, especially the legends, they don't leave. They get onto a legends contract and they just do other things. So, and I can't believe his show didn't have more. That interview with JBL that he did with all these old timers, I just love that on the WWE Network. So, that's cool. Now, Hurricane Harvey, it did affect one wrestler very much. Booker T is from Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he and his brother both from Houston. Monday Night Raw, which was in Memphis last weekend, on Monday Night Raw. He was supposed to be there, but he stayed with his family. No word on any kind of damage that he had. But Houston, there was, because in my job on the radio station, I actually talked to a couple of people that I know that live in the Houston area. They said the devastation was incredible.
Oh.
Some areas up to 50 inches of rain during that huge storm. And we've seen
how much we get the entire winter.
Yes. It was an unreal amount of rain in just a short time. So we hope, and we know that of at least, last count I heard, 39 people were dead from Hurricane Harvey. But the WWE immediately put together a PSA and put it on both SmackDown, put it on Raw, and I'm sure on all their programming that week for relief for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. Then Harvey went into Louisiana, then went up into Tennessee, the remnants of Harvey. A lot of people forget that these tropical storms, when they hit as a hurricane, the remnants continue on to the East Coast or up into the Midwest.
Yeah, they follow the jet stream up there. Yeah.
And Nashville had lots of flooding. Again, wow. Nashville, Tennessee. I have relatives that live in West Tennessee. That's originally where I'm from, that were showing damage. A friend of mine posted that his above-ground swimming pool had a tree fall right in the middle of it because of Harvey. So a very serious situation in the WWE. Once again, when it comes to serious stuff, they do it so well. They do it. Their people were encouraging people to make donations.